You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
This is the Breadline Show, and we'd like to acknowledge that this show is coming to you from the stolen lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we'd like to express our gratitude for their care in looking after the land. And also that their sovereignty was never ceded. And we also acknowledge that the welfare system as it is now unfairly disadvantages First Nations people. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the second episode and of the Breadline Show on Community Radio 3CR. And so we're happy to be broadcasting again. And the Australian Unemployed Workers Union is a union run by the unemployed, for the unemployed. And got some fun things lined up for the show today. We've got an interview with Martha, and we've also celebrating because this is a radiothon week for 3CR. So 3CR plays a unique role in connecting communities, and I'll just pass over to Daryl for him to say hi.
Hi. Yeah, I'm on the line for the Unemployed Workers Union, where people call in. They call us on 1-800-289-848, and we try to help people's problems. We're there from 10 till 2, Monday to Friday.
That's really good, and we'll be giving that number out throughout the show. So just if you don't know what the Radiothon is, 3CR is, as I said, very important to get those critical perspectives out, and 3CR needs your support to maintain its independence. So the theme of this year's Radiothon is Sound On for Solidarity, and I think that's what our union's all about, really. It's about supporting people who are going through the unfairness of the current welfare system, which means you have to sort of dot your I's, cross your T's, and hope that you don't get cut off in the process of trying to go for interviews or do courses which you may not even need to do.
Yeah. Quite often people don't know they've had their payments suspended or cancelled until they go to, till they get to the bank and go to get some money out. That happens a lot too, which is quite unfair. And I was reading something last financial year, there was something like 33,000 people had their payments suspended for one reason or another. It's really tough to keep it going. I know myself, I every time I go to the bank, I keep wondering, did I get it this fortnight or not?
Yeah, and that's just completely wrong that the privatised job agencies have the power to do that. And I think that's really why the union's so necessary, because there are so many things that you can accidentally not do. Like you might not get a message, suddenly you find your income gone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And just another little plug for 3CR. If you do have a job, any donations to 3CR, which are so necessary, particularly this week, are tax deductible. And don't worry, if you miss out on donating right during our show, you can donate at any time by going on to the 3CR website, 3cr.org.au. But we've heard on the grapevine that we have had one donation already to the show, which is a bit exciting considering it's only our second show.
And this was before we broadcast the first show. So I think this is going to be a very popular show, this one. And I might also add that you can also email us if you have any problems at auwu.org.au.
And you're listening to Breadline, which is the Australian Unemployed Workers Union show, on our special Radiothon episode. And we'd just like to remind you that 3CR needs your support. And if you can donate, any donation, any size, it was always helpful to keep 3CR on air and also keep us broadcasting for the next year. So we're going to be following our little chat with an interview with Martha, who's a new activist in the union, and she'll be talking about basically her experiences of the system. But the union on our website has a number of fact sheets that you can check if you want to, if you've got a particular issue, for example, with alternatives for work for the dole. Because so they often give you this ultimatum, you've got to do work for the dole. You often don't have a lot of choice, particularly where I live down in Gippsland. Often you don't really get the chance to choose something that might actually be useful. So we've got a fact sheet there on alternatives to work for the dole, and also changing providers. If you've had a bad run-in with your job service provider, you can change. And so there's info on our website about that. Our website is auwu.org.au. So, yeah, we'll go into our interview with Martha.
Yeah, just before we do, I'd like to mention my opinion of changing job providers. To me, it's kind of jumping from the frying pan into the fire. They all follow the same rules and regulations that they have to follow. You might have a bad consultant at one job provider, but then you go to the next one and they might be pretty bad as well.
They might be worse.
Might be worse, yeah. And it is a bit of a headache changing job providers. I don't like the job provider. I've had arguments with my job provider I'm with at the moment, and they've asked me if I'd like to go to another job provider.
In other words, you're a bit awkward.
Yeah, obviously. And I said, oh, no, I'm quite happy to stay here because they're right above the supermarket, so I'm able to do my shop. I take a shopping list with me when I have an appointment, so that way it's not a total waste of time going there.
Right,
and
yeah.
It's easy to get to. I just jump on one tram for 10 minutes and I'm there.
Right. So I suppose what you're saying is, yeah, if you feel like it might be the frying pan to the fire, then maybe persevere. But you have got that right to change.
That's right. Yeah, just keep persevering with them. Keep standing up for your rights. They'll eventually learn.
Yeah, good one. Mm. All right. Well, so we'll hear from Martha now.
So, hi. We're speaking to Martha Clark. So, she's a new active member of the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. Hi, Martha.
Hi, how you doing?
And hi to Daryl, who's on the other mic.
Hi, Martha.
Hiya.
So, you've recently told us a bit on one of our Victorian Zoom calls about your story. So, can you tell the listeners what's been going on?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I have been on JobSeeker for a couple of months. I lost my job at the start of the year working for a government agency on a casual basis and was unfortunately with a fair few other colleagues let go with a week's notice, which was pretty tough. But at the time we had red flags that was coming up. So I applied for JobSeeker in the meantime because I was at the time applying for many, many jobs in anticipation. That my job was going to finish. I was applying at that time on an average of about 35 jobs a month, I think. It was crazy. And I was not hearing back from really any of them. I'd hear back maybe from one or two, have an interview, and then radio silence from them. It was really disheartening. But aside from that, I applied for JobSeeker, and then when my redundancy came around, I was still waiting. And unfortunately, it had been about 2-3 months by that point since I'd submitted my claim, and I was really getting desperate because my work had run out. I lived on my own, rent paying, so as I'm sure is the case with so many people listening, it was a little bit of a, oh dear, when am I going to have to really, really start struggling with rent?
It
got to the point where by the time I got approved, about 4 months after I had actually applied for it, I started getting the JobSeeker payments. But by that point, I was cutting myself down to 2 meals a day. I have to take a medication for a chronic condition I have that is not PBS prescription, unfortunately. So an expensive medication, and I was taking the minimum amount that I could of that. So just really scraping together everything I could to make sure that I was okay. So by the time I got on JobSeeker, I was unfortunately, despite all my pre-planning and doing as much as I could to slot into the system that I hoped would help me, it was a pretty rough one. Yeah.
When you use up all your sort of, well, your resources you've got already, like people you can borrow a bit of cash from and that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the follow-on from that is that despite that I am now on JobSeeker and I managed to get a little bit of sole trader work in where I can, but I am a full-time student now, so I used the opportunity to, you know, do a bit of extra training. So I, despite all of those activities that I'm able to do, I had to make the call actually just last week that I'm moving back in with my parents, as so many people are, because the rate of job seeker, it doesn't, with rent and the price of cost of living.
It doesn't go far, does it?
It doesn't go far, no. So I had to make the tough call that it is back in with the parents. So, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, well, again, as we were saying on our show last week, it's basically often the choice between food or a roof over your heads.
And pretty much, yeah.
So we'll just have a quick break now and then we'll talk to you more.
Absolutely.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
And yeah, we're talking to Martha Clark, who's a new active member of the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. Hi, Martha, again.
Hiya.
And, yeah, we know that you had a few run-ins with your job provider. So if you can just give us and the sort of listeners a bit of an idea of how that went.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So, look, I was aware that for the first 12 months of being, you know, on JobSeeker, you're referred often to the Workforce Australia online site, and that's what happened to me. And so I was checking everything, and then checking everything, you know, regularly. And I found that I had a message one day that advised me that I had missed a requirement, my payment would go on hold, and I needed to contact my provider. And I was really confused by that because I'd been keeping up to date with everything I needed to do. Turns out I went onto the website and I'd been assigned a job provider. I hadn't been notified that I'd been assigned one, and they made me an appointment that I hadn't received a notification for. I found that very weird. I didn't know that I was going to be put with a job provider that was in person. So I contacted them and said, hey, I was not told about this, and what can we do about that, putting payment on hold? And can you believe it? The woman on the phone said, well, you missed an appointment. I said, I wasn't notified. She said, oh, I can see in the system we didn't notify you. However, we still need to suspend your payment. And I said, this is an error on your part and I'm still getting suspended payment. And she said, yes, that's correct. I could not believe it. I know.
Imagine if you had the power to suspend her in her payment.
I know, yeah. It was, and the attitude that I was given on the call, I asked her for a receipt number for the call because I wanted to, you know, I keep my records. And she told me she said, you need to calm down. And it was at that point that I just sort of thought, this is crazy. I don't think that this is in any way unreasonable. I rescheduled the appointment with them and managed to get my payment reinstated. But I did have to have a look at their... I went online and found their guide to social policy law and had to refer their own policy and section back to them if I've not received a notification, it can't be suspended. And I couldn't believe I had to police them on their own. Yeah.
On their own procedures, yeah. And again, I mean, I would probably have been freaking out at that stage. And, you know, you were sort of calm enough to go and look at what they were meant to be doing. And I think credit to you for that.
Thank you.
I suppose that's really what we're on, our organisation, our union's on about, which is, you know, people feeling strong enough to do what you just did.
And they should have called you back too to find out why you didn't turn up for the appointment before they suspended your payments, which is something that they obviously didn't do, did they?
No, they didn't. And you know, I wasn't even told that I was assigned to them. It was a really horrible start to dealing with them as well, because it felt like from the first step into my experience on JobSeeker, I was being treated
pretty much guilty until proven
innocent. Yeah, like a miscreant, or like I was lesser because I was receiving this payment, and it's just not acceptable. I mean, it's a social service. it's for when you need help. And yes. And yeah, it's disheartening, really is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for sharing all that, and I'm sure the listeners will identify with many of the things you're talking about. So, thanks once again. Hopefully we'll have you on the show again, and you can give us a bit of an update and talk about the next episode in the saga.
There is more to come, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be more.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks again. Thanks for being
on
Brand New
Breadline.
Well, thanks, Martha.
It's been a delight. Thank you.
Okay. Now it's time for my weekly phone-in or email that I pick out from the many complaints that we, the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, get. And as last week, this one comes under the heading of bullying. Bob was at his appointment with his disability job provider to sign a job plan. The meeting wasn't going well. His consultant got frustrated and abruptly ended the appointment without a job plan being signed. The next day, he gets a text message saying his payments have been put on hold because his job plan was not signed, and to get in touch with his provider to have his payments reinstated. Bob did that, but it was his consultant that answered the call. He didn't want to put up with her, so he asked to speak to the site manager. His consultant said she is the only one there and she can't help him, and then abruptly hung up on him. Well, so what if she's the only one there? That is no excuse for not reinstating his payments. Bob goes on to say his consultant is always threatening his payments, speaking down to him, generally showing him no respect towards him at all. She would send him to a job interview for a position that he clearly cannot do due to his health condition, which indicates that his so-called disability job provider obviously does not take into consideration. And from speaking with Bob, that is basically why his consultant is showing him no respect. She sends Bob to job interviews, and because of his health issues, of course he does not get the job. What a complete waste of time. So I advised Bob to get in touch with the Department of Education, Skills and Employment, Disability Rights Centre and Social Security Rights Victoria to make a formal complaint. And when you do this, always CC a copy of your complaint emails to your job provider and their head office. And as I say all the time, and indeed to everybody, regardless if you're having problems or not, always keep a detailed diary of all your correspondence and meetings you have with your job provider and anyone else you talk to related to your concerns.
And so we're coming to the end of our Breadline show. It's the new show from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. And we just thought we'd give you that number again for our advice line, which is open from Monday to Friday from 10 till 2 every day. And so any concerns you have about Centrelink payments, job service providers, anything relating to your sort of part in the system, ring us for advice if you have any concerns. The number is 1-800-289-848. And if you missed that number, just check it again on the union website, which is auwu.org.au. So this is our special Radiothon show, and hopefully a few of you have donated to keep 3CR on the airwaves and able to host our show and many other exciting shows. We've got an interesting interview coming up next week at 6 p.m. on Mondays. That's our regular time slot, and we're talking to someone who Daryl met.
Yeah, talking to a guy by the name of Noodle. He's living up in Darwin there at the top end, living by his wits and actually doing really well without any government payments whatsoever.
And of course we talked to him. He wasn't actually in a bin at the time, but he talks a lot about how to get by from recycling out of the bins of Darwin.
And so, more importantly, PPE as well.
He gives you very practical advice as well about not ending up lost in the bin. So hopefully you'll listen to us next week and you'll hear from us then.
Okay. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.